Let's bow our heads in prayer, just praying part of Psalm 63, which we just heard. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Lord, may this be a reality in our lives today as we gather in your name, as your children, to hear your word, to be taught by your Holy Spirit, to bring glory to you and to your name. Amen. Well, we are continuing our summer series on the Ten Commandments, which I was thinking about, you know, may not sound like a normal way of relaxing in the summer. I thought, what am I doing? This belongs in Lent, doesn't it, or something? Seems a little heavy for the summer, but here we are. And this is meant to help us see the connection and the importance of the commandments to our Christian living. This is very much a part of our lives and an important part of our lives as well. The commandments are actually a gift from God, a gift of His grace. And they're meant to guide us. As our Anglican Catechism says, the commandments are a tutor that will lead us to Christ. What they do is they show us where we fall short, and they point out something vital if we're going to actually come to Christ and receive Him by faith. The commandments show us that we're lawbreakers. We don't like the sound of that, of course, but if we receive this truth in our hearts, the commandments have done their job. They've made us deeply aware that we do not reach the bar that God has set, the bar of holiness and purity and righteousness, but someone has, the Lord Jesus has, and we are righteous in Him. Jesus kept the commands perfectly for us. And as we follow the commandments in our daily life, we're really doing something that's described in the New Testament in Hebrews 12, which says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He is the pioneer. He's the one who perfects faith, so we cling to Him. One writer described the Ten Commandments as dividing up into two sections. Not two sections of five, but the first section is 1 to 3, and the second is 4 to 10. This writer says that the first three commandments have to do with the honor that we owe to God. We owe Him honor. The next seven have to do with the well-being of other people, that God has the well-being of other people in mind, and the commandments are given to make sure that people are blessed. So let me recap the first two commandments before we dive into number three this morning. So in commandment one, we honor God by not having any other God. So He's the first and only God. He's the only one, not just the priority. He is the only one that we love and serve. In number two, we honor Him by not making any image meant to look like Him. We intentionally don't try to capture God in a physical image. Why? Well, because He's revealed Himself. He's revealed His image already in the face of Jesus. And it's not up to us to try to reach Him. He's actually reached down to us and revealed Himself. Now, number three. Let me read number three. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. For Israel, they received this one first, and they knew it was a very serious thing to misuse and abuse God's name. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses tells the people of Israel to revere this glorious and awesome name. The name is the Lord your God. The nation was warned that if they did misuse the name, then there would be consequences. Judgment would fall, and they would suffer some of the plagues that the Egyptians did. So Commandment 3, though, goes beyond just using the name carelessly. You know, when I was a kid, I always remember hearing, Rob, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Maybe because my mom knew that I did from time to time. I'm sorry to say, but I did. But that's what I thought. To me, that was the extent of the law. You know, don't take the Lord's name in vain. In other words, if I don't swear using the name of Jesus or God, then I'm okay. And I get my little check mark in the box and God thinks I'm fine. I'd like to make two points about Commandment 3 today, about God's name. The first point is what happens when we misuse it. And the second point is how we're called to use it well, and then what happens when we do use it well. Amazing things happen. The first point I'd like to make here today is about the misuse of God's name. What happens when we do that? When we do that, we actually hurt God's reputation. We actually end up dragging his name through the mud. For the people of Israel, to misuse God's name meant a few things in their context. First of all, it would have meant using God's name to justify wrong behavior. So if you're doing something immoral or dishonest, then you might use God's name to make what you're doing seem holy and good. I'm sure we could think of some modern examples of this as well, where abuse has happened under the cover of God's name. That's a horrible thing. For the Jews, misusing God's name also meant taking an oath that you really didn't mean to keep. You'd make an oath or a promise in God's name, but it would be like standing in a wedding as the bride or the groom with your fingers crossed behind your back. Yes, I'll do this. Not really. Again, a bad place to be. After Israel crossed into the Promised Land, something was going on here. The people of Canaan saw these people coming. They'd heard about their God, but they wanted to know, what is this God really like? Who is this God? And if Israel misused the name of God carelessly and dishonestly, what would the Canaanites think? They'd think the God of Israel was rather pathetic, a bit of a joke, not worthy of worship and respect because God's own people weren't treating it with love and respect. We see the consequences of this in the Old Testament, where God says that his name has been misused at the hands of his own people. Listen to God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36. This is a little terrifying. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you profaned among them, among the nations. What happened when Israel did that? God responded by carrying out the promise of the third commandment. He held them guilty, he judged them, and he sent them into exile for a time. He brought them back, but they did suffer the consequence of exile. The third commandment was a very sobering warning to Israel that they shouldn't misuse God's name. In other words, don't use God's name as if it belongs to you. It doesn't belong to you. It's revealed to you for a purpose. Use it very carefully. Use it, but be careful how you use it. Because when a person misuses God's name, that person shows that they really think that God's name is theirs to command. It's been given to me. I can use it however I feel like it. And when I use God's name for my own purposes, which are selfish purposes, then obviously that's a misuse. Going back to Exodus 3, when God first gave Moses his name, he gave the name because Moses needed it to tell the people who God is. When God reveals his name, he does it for a purpose. He does it for a purpose in order to reveal himself, to say, I am the God who wants to be known. I am the God who's chosen you as my child, as my people. This is my name because I want you to know me. We see this all through the Old Testament, God revealing himself saying, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's name is rooted in the very history of Israel. This is how he reveals himself. He's the God who reveals his name in order to call a people into a relationship with him. And you know, you can't be in a relationship with someone if you don't know their name. You need to know their name. That's a vital part of being in relationship. God says, here's my name, use it, but don't misuse it. The commandment makes it clear that when we do misuse it, God considers that person guilty. We're guilty because God's name carries his reputation. It carries his character. When we use it well, people understand who God is. They may not believe who he is, but at least we've been good witnesses to him. When we misuse it, his reputation is damaged. The third commandment then serves this important role. It makes us aware that when we misuse the name, God's reputation suffers. His character is called into question. People are likely to turn away and not take this God seriously. The second thing about God's name is this. It's using God's name well. When we use God's name well, something miraculous happens. God uses his name to open blind eyes. and bring people to himself. Listen to Jesus speaking in Matthew 5, 36 and 37. In these verses, he talks about not taking oaths or not swearing, not making promises carelessly. He says, don't do that. He says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. That's all you say. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. His words in the context of Matthew 5 were meant for the Jewish leaders, who obviously were making careless vows in God's name. They were breaking commandment number 3. Jesus' point is that those who follow him, those who trust and love the Lord God, shouldn't make vows at all. Why? Because we easily break the vows. Also, our reputation as Christians should be so good and so honorable that we actually don't need to make vows at all. He means that our reputation should be so solid that an oath doesn't matter because our character is so strong. People know we belong to Christ and they know that our word is true. If we say yes or no, people know that we mean it because we have this great reputation as Christians, people of integrity. Isn't that what so many in our society are hungering for? We hunger for authenticity. We hunger for integrity and honesty. I don't think we hunger for perfection. I don't think anyone expects that. We know that we can't reach that bar. But we want down-to-earth integrity. We want people we can trust. Many of us are at the point where we simply don't trust our leaders. I don't want to start now slinging arrows and tossing stones at politicians. That's an easy target. But we simply don't trust our leaders. The church is included in that as well. People, for the most part, the younger generations, don't trust institutions. So instead of making promises in God's name, Jesus is teaching us here, using commandment number 3, to say, live your faith with absolute integrity so that you actually don't need to make a promise. Because when people look at you, they'll know that your word is true. If we don't, we become associated with a very damaging word, the word hypocrisy, and that is a killer for the ministry of any church. When non-Christians or lapsed Christians see hypocrisy in our lives, it confirms their worst fears. Often their worst fear is that following Jesus doesn't change us. It hasn't changed us because we look just like everybody else. There's no difference. As Christians, there must be a difference. There must be different qualities and characteristics that reflect who God is. Living the commandments with love and integrity will witness to the change, really, that's happened in your own heart. And it will be the most powerful witness that you could ever offer to someone else. Your own life will be a witness to the power of the gospel. As Israel lived according to the Ten Commandments in the land of Canaan, they were witnessing to the power of God. What does this power do? Well, it delivers a people from slavery and oppression. It saves them. It blesses them. It allows them to multiply and to be blessed in their relationship with God. In other words, their lives were on full display as they lived in the land of Canaan. We too live in the land of Canaan, and our lives are on full display. As we follow the Ten Commandments today and use God's name well, God's name will be raised up, and it will impact others for good. They'll see people who simply say yes or no and then mean what they say. There'll be no big promises, no big vows, but instead a yes. It'll be a yes to caring for the poor and a yes to feeding the hungry, a yes to loving my neighbor as myself, a yes to God's command to love and serve, identify needs around us, and get on with the job of blessing people. Our no, well, that will be a loving no, a firm no, to things that twist human lives, warp human lives, and lead to brokenness and hopelessness. Being a church that is willing to say yes or no, well, of course, that leads us into conflict with secular values. But the main point of keeping the commandments really is to maintain God's honor. It's to maintain God's honor and witness to his great power to save a people. That's what's on display in our lives. His reputation and his glory matters a lot more than the reputation and glory of Church of Our Lord. We're actually called to make a countercultural move here as Christians. We're called to put God absolutely first in all things and in all areas. Not to worry about if other people are doing it, but to do it ourselves. And the commandments teach us to do what Jesus teaches, which is to die to self. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Love God with every fiber of your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in this way, keeping the commandments is a clear sign to other people that God is at the center of our lives. We hold His name high, and we do our best to use it well. Just as I finish up here, let me also mention a couple of other ways in the New Testament where we see the power of God's name transforming lives. Listen to two examples. Acts chapter 3, Peter meeting the lame beggar in Jerusalem. And the man obviously wanting some money, and Peter saying, "Silver or gold, I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he did. And then Acts 4, Peter and John standing before the Jewish leaders, saying, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there was no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." So this is how Jesus transforms that third commandment. He transforms it by revealing that the name of God is His name. We never want to misuse the name, because this is actually the name that saves. We're allowed to use it, we're encouraged to use it, as long as it's used for God's purposes. We use it to introduce people to the one we call Lord and King. We use it as part of our testimony to show how Jesus has changed our lives. We use it to proclaim hope, freedom for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, love and forgiveness, connected to the healing power of Christ. As a final illustration of how the name is used well, listen to this. This is the true fulfillment of the name given. This is Jesus at the end of Matthew's gospel, teaching his followers how to take the good news out. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And there's the name again. The name being brought forward from the third commandment and brought to fulfillment. Jesus saying, you can now call on the name of God, and you know this God. He's Yahweh, I Am, and He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the fullness of God revealed in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, in the power of the Spirit. This is the name that we treasure. This is the name we honor above all other names. This is the name we bring into our dealings with each other and with other people. Our hope and prayer as a church should always be that new people will hear this name, will receive it, and through this name find the forgiveness and new birth offered by the living God. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment to be quiet and just reflect on the name of God revealed. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have called us by name. You knew our name before you formed us in the womb. You've revealed your name to us, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the living Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for trusting us to use your name well. Thank you for teaching us how to use the name well. And thank you for showing us what happens when we use the name well. Lives are changed. Lives are transformed. We thank you. Amen.